Did the Valar abandon Middle-earth? They were supposed to be there out of love for the world and the children of Iluvatar to shape and rule Arda. But where were they during the Lord of the Rings, or even earlier? Did they abandon their task? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. In The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, the Valar, the godly rulers of Arda, are noticeably absent. There are references and acts that seem like they might be from them, and so on, but they'd never actually make an appearance. In the movies, it's even worse. The mentions they get are so fleeting that you'd be forgiven for thinking that the Valar are either non-existent or irrelevant to the stories. But when you look back to earlier in the Third Age and the Second Age, and even for most of the First Age, the Valar are simply not there. Yes, there is the War of Roth, and there are a few Middle-earth cameos from Ulmo in the Silmarillion, but aside from that, the main stories of the First, Second, and Third Ages of Middle-earth are of elves and humans, not the Valar. We know that the Valar are there. They were hugely involved in the early years of Middle-earth, and they do care. So what's going on? Did they abandon Middle-earth for the bliss of Valinor, or is there something else going on? Probably a good place to start this is by noting that technically all of the Valar, those who descended to care for and rule Arda, were volunteers, those who felt most strongly attached to this thing that they had been singing into creation. And even more technically, they had thought that they were descending to a created world, but it turns out that the vision from their singing had just been a vision. It was on them to mould and shape it into physical being. We're told that their great labours in this were over ages uncounted, often against the machinations of Melkor destroying what they had just made. The Valar were undoubtedly committed. But it is also indisputable that once the bulk of this work was done and Arda made ready for the arrival of the children of Iluvatar, Melkor set up camp on Middle-earth and the Valar retreated to Aman. Middle-earth was left largely in darkness, lit just by the stars, its life placed into a kind of hibernation. A few of the Valar paid occasional visits there, and it was during this time that Aule made the dwarves, who were then put straight back to sleep and left underground across Middle-earth. But by and large, the Valar kept to themselves in the light of the Trees of Valinor. It can be no surprise then that Melkor found the first children of Iluvatar years before the Valar did. From any perspective, this is pretty poor form from the Valar. It cost many elf lives, and many more were turned and corrupted into orcs, at least in one of Tolkien's conceptualizations of the origin of orcs. When the Valar first appeared there, Orome first, who was hunting at the time, the elves were scared of them. The Valar did turn it around, though, using this as a prompt to finally deal with Melkor, waging war on him and chaining him for three ages. So the first of the two sets of children of Iluvatar they were waiting for had arrived in Middle-earth, and the Valar had to decide what to do with them. They decided, by majority really, to invite, strongly invite, the elves to Valinor to live with them. Many did go, though some decided to ignore the call, and others started the journey then didn't complete it. The rest of that age, and the two ages that followed, the First and Second Ages of Middle-earth, are marked by the Valar largely staying where they were, and interacting closely with the elves that came to Valinor, and not interacting with what happened in Middle-earth, other than in occasional and devastating ways. The Valar tended not to visit Middle-earth, and even made Valinor itself harder and harder to access for anyone else. The Noldor left Valinor for Middle-earth and were banned from returning. The hiding of Valinor meant that the Pelori Mountains around Valinor were raised to greater heights, their sides as smooth as glass, the only entrance guarded by fog, rocky waters, spells of discouragement, and if you set foot on any of the islands, sleep until the changing of the world. The ban on the Noldor was eventually rescinded, but humans were never allowed to set foot in Valinor, and eventually it was even removed from that physical plane with just the straight road west for the elves to follow when they wearied of Middle-earth. The Valar did intervene directly through the War of Roth at the end of the First Age, Manwë tried to reason with the Numenoreans direct through eagle-shaped storm clouds and the like in the Second Age, and then at the end of the Second Age, the Valar took the drastic step of laying down the guardianship of Arda, and Iluvatar himself intervened to bring destruction to Numenor and reshape the world. But the overriding direction of travel here is undeniably the Valar cutting themselves off from Middle-earth and those that live there. The moments of direct involvement were less and less frequent. At which point, we do need to give the obligatory nod to Ulmo. We are explicitly told in the Silmarillion that Ulmo loves both elves and men, and never abandoned them, not even when they lay under the wrath of the Valar. Ulmo pops up again and again through the Silmarillion, sometimes highlighted and sometimes implied, helping elves and men in Middle-earth. He urged Turgon to build Gondolin and Finrod to build Nargothrond, then helped Huor, Húrin and Tuor separately to get to Gondolin, and Elwing escape from the havens of Sirion. Quite proactive, while most of the Valar stayed in Valinor. But what about the Third Age, the age of the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit? Had the Valar truly absented themselves from Middle-earth by then? Well, in one sense, yes. As we noted at the start of this video, the Valar are not noticeably present in the stories we love at the end of the Third Age. These are the stories of humans, elves, dwarves, and hobbits, not of the Valar. But when you look a little closer, the Valar are there. Perhaps not in person, but their influence is palpable. First, I think there is some actually pretty strong evidence that the Valar did still intervene directly in the Third Age, even in the stories we know, just without showing themselves. Frodo and Sam both call on Vardar at various points of danger, using her elven name of Elbereth, and their pleas seem to be answered on both Weathertop and in Shelob's lair. Someone also sent that prophetic vision to Faramir and Boromir by the river, and the hints are that it was Ulmo. The wind, a tool of Manwë, also blows away Sauron's magical darkness before the Battle of the Pelennor Fields, then also blew away Saruman's spirit when he was killed in the Scouring of the Shire. Direct interventions both, surely. And the Valar also sent emissaries and proxies to help out. There are the Astari, of course. They turned out to be a mixed blessing, to say the least, but it's hard to imagine our heroes winning without Gandalf's involvement. We shouldn't forget Glorfindel, either, specifically sent back by the Valar in the Second Age and still there in the Third. And while we're at it, the Great Eagles, always there when you need them, are servants of Manwë. That's their role. The moment you start to see the Eagles not just as cool eagles, but instruments of Manwë's ongoing involvement in Middle-earth, is the moment you realise quite how involved the Valar were. So, what is going on? To my mind, what we are looking at is something wonderful from Tolkien. The weaving into the pattern of time, the slow withdrawal from the age of imagination he wrote about, and easing towards the dominion of man. The magic and mystery and divinity of the early chapters of the Silmarillion gives way to a world closer to what we know, over eons. The pantheon-like expressions of God's thought that the Valar are engage actively to start with in shaping the world, then withdraw bit by bit. At first, they still intervene personally when needed, then they send emissaries to support and advise, and then confine themselves to speaking in dreams and visions. This is not an abandonment. This is giving over the rule of Middle-earth to humans, to us, in a way of speaking. The Valar are still there. Perhaps we hear the whisper of Manwë's thought in the wind or Ulmo's rumblings in the roar of the ocean, but it is for us now to shape and manage the world. This is not abandonment of duties. It is passing on responsibilities to those born to the task. Would the evolution of the dominion of man even be possible with the Valar still there, intervening, overruling? I think not. Humanity would never grow up to take responsibility. Did the Valar abandon Middle-earth? No, they slowly withdrew, and when humanity was ready, they handed it over to us. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.